How y'all doing? Unfortunately, just before Joanne Worley gave her treatment, we were kind of talking and singing It's a Lovely Day, and we got in this loop of It's a Doris Day, and now I can't get that out of my mind. Doris Day, Doris Day, Doris Day. You know. All right, moving on. Let's talk science of mind, shall we? This book, which frankly has inspired me, Three Simple Steps. Just because it's simple, is it easy class?
No.
And as Deborah Zweihart once said in class, what is going to make this experience different than the other 100 classes I've taken or the other 1,000 books I've read? And it's my willingness to actually practice. Anytime there's something new that's come along, you know, there's nothing new. We know that. This is what the perennial philosophy is. It's the same information from the Rig Veda on, from the earliest written records on. The information hasn't changed. And what is in this book is not really any different than things that have been said, but it's an invitation to practice. It's not about reading a book and going, uh-huh, okay, yeah, I know that one. Oh, that's good, uh-huh. Oh, there's a quote I never read before. That's tired, mm-hmm. Okay, there's another book, done, great. It's, am I going to apply what I'm learning? And therefore, I'm taking my time with this book. I'm not hurrying through it to see how quickly I can get finished with it, but how I can use it to raise my own self-awareness on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour, or minute-by-minute opportunity. How I can become more aware of what it is I am thinking, what thoughts I have created into things in my life, knowing that indeed it is all God expressing, and that my thought creates, by and large, my own experience. The author, Trevor Blake, is English, and begins the book by saying that what we're really surrounded by is quicksand, or it is a trance at best. That every great teacher has always said the most important spiritual teaching that can be is simply wake up, be aware, be alert to what is going on around you and to what you're thinking and how you're reacting. That is what spiritual practice is. And to make ever more skillful choices all the time when we become aware of what it is we're thinking and how it is we are reacting. Because, as we say in Sunday school, a thought plus a feeling equals a thing. It is not simply thought upon thought upon thought upon thought that moves, as Dr. Holmes would say, undifferentiated substance, the great void, the ground of being, the no thing. The willingness for a mind to appear as something. It is not simply or exclusively the thoughts or the quantity of thoughts, but it is the feelings that animate those thoughts that make them real and move into the effects of our lives. A thought plus a feeling equals a thing. And when we have a feeling about a thought, that is also known as a reaction. We are reacting. So there's thought, feeling, reaction. And then we are acting in the world, acting as if this were real, acting as if my primary mindset is that the world is against me and life is a white knuckle ride, then I am reacting to everything like that, rather than unfolding in ease and grace and moving forward, as Lee said, that look, you know, everything's an adventure. That is his mindset. And he still, bless you, he's not sitting there. He's probably downstairs drinking coffee. But, you know, he is still the busiest studio musician in town. Works every single day of his life at the highest possible level. Because he has a mindset that goes, yeah, sure, yes. Nothing to be afraid of. Are we afraid? And the answer is, yeah. We spend a lot of time being afraid and reacting, and then we find that we are stuck because fear is immobilizing. It is fear that prevents us from moving forward into our life. One of the things that was so moving to me, and I'm still in the very beginning, less than page 50 of this, I'm reading the first part, is his story about himself being born in England and then living in Wales as definitely lower class and having a desire to be in the Royal Navy. And that was an impossibility, which I don't know about these things, except I'm reading it and I'm believing him. That only, as a rule, the boys, the children of titled Englishmen are invited into the Navy. It's a prestige thing. And he was determined to be in the Navy. And he developed some capacity to not be immune to criticism, but to not let it direct his thinking. And to keep focused on the possibility that this can happen. The story that he tells unfolds over many years. 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And a lot of us might think, well, I want to know the magic formula. I mean, I got to pay the rent on Monday and I don't have any money. Isn't this the teaching where you're supposed to think about prosperity and you magically have money? You know you want that to be the case. You know you do. Here's the deal as I understand it. My bad planning is of no consequence to the divine mind. You know? As we used to like to say in the office, yeah, your lack of planning is not my priority. And if that would be the same thing if God were a person. Gee, I'm sorry you made a whole bunch of unskilled choices for the last 40 years. I mean, who was writing the checks and using the credit card? Oh, that would be me. It's not God's problem to pay your rent. It's not life's problem. Life is an opportunity. And you know, here's the deal. It's a long-term thing. Sometimes what we call demonstrations, which are results, they do happen quickly. Sometimes they really do, as if by magic. But the thing that matters the most, really and truly, is the big picture and the long haul, if you will. It's not what's going to happen. What magical thing can I make this weekend because I'm bored? If you're bored, if we're bored, you know, when I say you all get that we're saying human nature, right? Yeah, I'm not picking on anybody. Because, you know, I include myself in every one of these, right? If you're bored, well, make up a life. Make it up. Make a choice and stick with it. Before I knew about principle, before I knew about how life worked, I had extraordinary demonstrations. And arguably, Trevor Blake doesn't know about spirituality. There's nothing spiritual about this book. It's practical application of the power of your individual mind and the power of the subconscious mind. Looking back on my life, I had extraordinary demonstration as a younger man because I was focused on an experience that I was determined to have, and I had it. And it was so much, this is a work experience, you know, I told you my story, and then I wanted to work at the National Endowment for the Arts when I was in college in the 70s in Washington, and I, step by step, I stay focused on it, it was going to happen, and I insisted in my own mind that I would do whatever I had to do, which was the most bone-crushingly boring job for almost a year. I had a rubber stamp, and I had to put a number on every piece of paper that came in, and this was before computers, and manually advance it one, and so I literally did this for almost a year, but I thought the most interesting people on the planet are in this building right now, and I will have a superior, fascinating experience, and I will receive mentorship from a genius. And that's what happened. And I could not have planned it, because it happened in all kinds of bizarre backdoor ways. Nevertheless, that was my experience. And that happened over a period from 75 to 81. That's 6 years. Okay. There's nothing magical about it. It takes tenacity and willingness to grow in self-awareness, to be focused and determined. None of this pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. I don't even know how that happens. I don't know what a bootstrap is, but I think it's the thing on the top of your cowboy boots. So, like, what do? I mean, you keep jumping up and down. What does pulling yourself up by a bootstrap look like? There ain't no heavy lifting. Focus. So that I might experience something that uniquely gives me great joy. And in turn, I will be blessing the world by being a joyful presence and busy in it. This is what every one of us wants to do. I know. This is true of physical healing as well. It is no different than staying focused and being insistent. And little by little, the expression nobody wants to hear, little by little, things do change and they come into creation. And it is the shape of our life, and it is our experience. We are here on Sundays to encourage each other to stay at it, that whatever it is that's on your heart, it's worth it. It is worth it. It is worth your effort. It is worth your time. It is worth your heart. It's worth your aspiration. As long as it serves your health and wholeness and does not diminish the experience of another, it is worth it. And if your aspirations are large or seem too large to do anything about, that is never to be a point of discouragement. How can I change the culture that I live in to be one that is fair for all? I don't know. But it's a personal responsibility, so it's how can I live my life so that I think, act, and react in a way that promotes fairness and justice for all people. And then in time, I will find that I am living in that environment, and it does indeed ripple out. It does. We are about the business of developing consciousness of the thing we are seeking, which means you know what it is and you are willing to pay the price, which is, again, is only in consciousness, it's only in mind. You are willing to let go of all thoughts. What's your name? Reverend Elizabeth Dad. Dr. Elizabeth Dad gave a fierce treatment this morning. If you were not in the... Let's give it up. Fierce. And it has to begin with, I am no longer willing to let these sad sack, quicksand thoughts keep me down. I am done with that. And in that space, using that energy, I create a vision of the thing itself. What it is I want to experience. And because we live in a solid dimensional time-bound experience right now, not forever, but right now, we can only create one thing at a time. The band can only play one song at a time. It's not pretty if they're all doing different things. That's called chaos. And that's what a lot of society is. Everybody having a different agenda. How different it is when we sing the same song. We are about the business of developing the consciousness of what we want. There are a couple of things that Mr. Blake tells us are really, really crucial. This is where this is practical. Practical stuff. Be self-aware. What did Dr. Walker always used to say? What am I thinking? Am I willing to experience the result of what I'm thinking? If not, make another choice. Fast. Fast. When you find yourself in a negative conversation, redirect the conversation. Did anybody have an opportunity to practice redirecting a conversation this week? I did inside my own head about 47 times. Shut up, you can't tell me to shut up. I don't like what you're thinking. It's none of your business, I'm telling. Adjust your medication. Okay. Be kind to yourself. Know when you're being a little too kind, too. I spent most of the 80s giving myself a lot of slack. Cut me some slack. Okay, run with it. Bye. But be kind to yourself and know when you're being overindulgent, when it's not serving you. Smother a negative thought with a positive image. Why? Because an image is so much more likely to generate a feeling. If you can think it and see it, then you will feel it, and it becomes a more living experience. That's when it, the idea, has actual, real energy that can be then transformed into a tangible object, healing, creation, or an experience. Great tip, don't try and convert anyone. Ever. Even in our work, which I want everybody to be hip to, there's no point to it. In the South, I learned when I was in Nashville, all y'all, that there was the expression is, don't try and teach the pig to read. It ain't going to happen, and you're going to really annoy the pig. Keep your ideas to yourself and really, really cultivate them. How many times has somebody demonstrated something and then come back to you and said, you know, you were the only one that said I could do it? I think most of us have probably had that experience. And the thing is that when we have an idea, generally we tell everybody and we want everybody to say, oh my God, you're a genius. Why didn't I think about that? But 99 out of 100 people will say, don't bother. It's been done. So keep your ideas to yourself for the most part. If you have a practitioner or a prayer partner, share that with them, or an intimate partner who you really know supports you in this, and that's fine. If you find yourself around negative people and you can't redirect the conversation, you can always excuse yourself, you know, because it's really important. You don't want to be around negative conversation. As much as possible, excuse yourself. There's not a time when you can't, if you're like listening to something and it's going on and everybody's talking about how awful it is and how expensive everything is and how unjust everything is, you can go, excuse me. They just think you're going to the bathroom. You don't have to go back. Don't participate. Don't listen to things and don't try and correct people. You don't need to do that. There's so many simple and really important and good ideas in this marvelous book. Again, written by somebody who really has created things when he shouldn't have been allowed to, when he was ineligible because of circumstances of his birth or whatever, but achieved something else. When he achieved this dream of succeeding all the way up in the Royal Navy, he writes, "I remember a gloriously sunny day in January standing on a flat-top rock that holds the Acropolis of Athens, 500 feet above sea level, and thinking to myself, I did this. I made this happen." Here's the deal. Every one of us has had that experience at some point in our lives. And one of the most important things I find that we can do is to not dwell in the past necessarily, but to remind ourselves that if we have done it once, we can do it any time because we know what is required of us in particular. The larger teaching is if anyone has achieved anything that you want, then that means it can be achieved, so you can too. But every one of us has had some kind of success when you knew, you know what, I did this against all odds, which means that you can do whatever you want against all odds. And our author concludes the beginning, the first third of this book, part one of this book, by saying, these first steps need to be mastered because to escape the quicksand, you need to start thinking and reacting according to your own instincts. And the key word there is mastered, which means practice, practice, practice. It's not about hurrying through the book. It's not about hurrying through your life. It's about slowing down enough to know what is required so you can master your own capabilities, not be the boss of the world, but master your own mind, your own interests, and your own craft. So at some point in your life, which is always demonstrated by our musicians, at some point in your life, you will be showing up with an ease that looks like effortless mastery. But it is only attained because you have mastered the million small steps that go into it. Whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever it is you want, whatever healing you're seeking, blessing you're looking for, thing you want to create, something that you want to know, it is possible by your very presence on this planet. And I support you in its realization. God bless you.